by telling you a short story. This story is about a small group of people who overcame incredible odds in order to do something truly remarkable. It's a story about a group that was doubted and even ridiculed because of their belief, yet a group that never lost their faith, hope, or trust. A story of a group that no one cared about or even knew about, yet a group that would nevertheless influence people all around the world. I am, of course, talking about the 2024 NC State Wolfpack men's basketball team. It's the story of a coach who was one loss away from being fired, yet somehow managed to lead his team to 9 consecutive victories, an ACC championship, and even a Final Four. It's the story of a big man who people said couldn't play major college basketball because of his enormous size, yet who was somehow named the South Regional Most Outstanding Player. It's the story of a white boy who couldn't hit a shot at all during the regular season, yet still somehow hit an incredible shot to keep the season alive and earn the nickname Miracle Mike. It's the story of a fan base who has suffered for over 3 decades only to celebrate one incredible run. It's the story of a group of people who came together to do the impossible. I could go on and on, but at risk of sounding like a Carolina fan, I digress. In all seriousness, though, while Noah's rolling his eyes at me, what has struck me more than anything about this year's team, even in the loss last night and after the game last night, is the way that this team has stuck together through good times and bad times. There's a sense of unity in this Wolfpack squad that NC State teams of the past have not had. This is obvious to those outside of the program, but it's even more evident to those within the program. For example, following the Elite Eight win over Duke, Coach Kevin Keats was asked what he perceived to be the biggest blessing of coaching this team during their miraculous run. This was his response. "I think the biggest blessing is they've stayed true to who they are. They've never wavered in their belief. They've stuck together. We go by our ART. I talk about that all the time. ARTT, accountability, relentless, toughness, and together. When things go bad, we lean on that. I can't say enough about them. They're really a close-knit bunch. The memories they're creating are going to last a lifetime, and that is what makes it really special. Those are the blessings that I see." I mentioned the Wolfpack this morning not only out of school pride, but also because I see a parallel between this year's team and the early Christians that we read about this morning in the book of Acts. As we read earlier, "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." When I read this passage, the same word comes to mind as when I think about the NC State basketball team. Unity. Togetherness. So, this morning we're going to actually have a little conversation with the youth while we do this. So, youth, what is unity, and how do you see unity among the early followers of Jesus in this passage? What's unity, and how do you see unity in that passage? Somebody raise your hand. Oh, Noah, all right, go ahead. What's unity? Good answer. Anybody else got an answer? He said that it was working together for a common goal, and that they did that by sharing their possessions, by selling it all for each other. Anybody else? Y'all always talk in class, so don't act like you don't want to talk now. So in this passage, we see a radical kind of unity that is manifested both spiritually and materially, as these followers of Jesus were of one heart and soul, and also shared all of their physical possessions. This is most certainly an extreme kind of unity, and commentators have attempted to classify such communal life in various ways. Some have pointed to this group as the first Christian commune. Others have classified it as a sort of imagined utopia. Still others have called this an early version of voluntary socialism. In any case, it is clear that these followers of Jesus were united together in body, soul, and spirit. It is what I would call a life of togetherness. Now, perhaps you're thinking that you would enjoy this sort of communal living, but it's not really that feasible in our current 21st century American context. Furthermore, if you truly think this type of communal living is for you, I invite you to join us on one of our future youth retreats as spending two nights in a room full of middle school boys, talking at 2 o'clock in the morning and trying to mask their body odor with Axe body spray will quickly change your mind. Although the methods of communal living may be far different for us than for this early group of Jesus followers, I do believe that we can embody their spirit in our current context by learning to live lives of togetherness. For the remainder of our time together this morning, I want to share a few thoughts with you about what it means to live a life of togetherness. First, a life of togetherness is special and sacred. Special and sacred. I believe that community is a gift from God. And because of that, there is something truly holy, set apart, special, different, unique about it. Eugene Peterson puts it this way, and I love what he says here. Like the sacramental use of water and bread and wine, friendship takes what's common in human experience and turns it into something holy. Love that quote. Question for the youth. Somebody raise your hand. What does the word sacramental mean there? Leo's like an English scholar, but he's trying not to raise his hand. All right? A sacrament is a visible symbol of the reality of God. In other words, it's a physical and somewhat ordinary way in which we recognize and receive God's presence in our own lives. I believe that's a beautiful definition of friendship and one that we as a church should embrace, friendship as sacramental. Students, if I were to ask you what you most look forward to on Sunday mornings, what would you say? Peyton? He was going to say food. I knew he was going to say food. All right. Somebody else? Just shout it out. Go ahead.
Fellowship.
What? How many of you would say friends? Raise your hand. All right. Don't lie because we're in church. All right. While there are many reasons for attending church on Sunday mornings, gathering with friends is an important purpose of church attendance. We should not shy away from this fact, but we should rather embrace the reality that friendships are special and sacred gifts from God. People often ask me what my favorite part of being a youth pastor is, and I always respond by saying the relationships that the students form with one another. There's something holy and inspiring about watching you guys, about watching our students here build relationships and form bonds with one another. And perhaps that is something that we would all do well to learn from them and imitate by watching them. Second, a life of togetherness is shaped by the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. As Pastor CJ talked about last week, Easter should be central to the lives of Jesus followers. The resurrection of Jesus was clearly central to the group of believers in Acts as their entire lives were informed and transformed by this miracle. Following the resurrection of Jesus, these early Christians became an embodiment of the love, compassion, and generosity of Christ within their own community. Their unity was not based on their ethnic identities, nor their political ideologies, nor their physical proximity, or even their college rooting interests. Rather, their unity was a result of their transformation into the image of Christ. As theologian Sam Mass puts it, only when the risen Jesus is Lord of all our ideas and our affiliations and our possessions will unity be possible. Only when Jesus is more important than anything else will unity happen. Only when we focus our hearts and souls on Him will grace dominate our lives. Only when we look at each other through the eyes of Christ, who has accepted us in His grace, can we have the unity that will attract the world to Jesus. While it may sound cheesy or overly simplistic, the truth remains that Christ must be the central focus of our communal life. What does this mean? It means welcoming the stranger. It means praying for our enemies. It means giving up our own desires. It means serving others. It means giving to the needy. It means calling out injustice. It means not only professing our faith, but also practicing our faith together. Just as our individual lives must be shaped by Christ, so too must our communal life. Lastly, a life of togetherness is marked by commitment to one another. If we think of those earliest Jesus followers, they committed their entire lives to each other, including all of their material possessions. Everything they did was for the benefit of the community and for the glory of God. That is an intense commitment to a community, but it is what made this community so effective as witnesses of the resurrection. And I wonder what such a commitment would look like for us today. Perhaps it is a commitment of finances. Perhaps it is a commitment of resources. Perhaps it is a commitment of time. But perhaps it's as simple as a commitment of intentionality. What does that word intentionality mean? Making specific choices for a specific reason, right? Maybe our commitment to one another should be a commitment to get to know one another, a commitment to stick around for one another, a commitment to be vulnerable with one another, a commitment to truly share our lives together. Again, it sounds simple, but it's the simple truth. One of the more disturbing trends in the larger church is that approximately 50% of students who attend church during their senior year of high school drift away from church and their faith during college. Unfortunately, this is not an isolated trend, as I am sure that we are all aware of students for whom this is the truth. This is not a trend that cannot be remedied, however, as I believe that there are steps we can take to fix this problem. According to the Fuller Youth Institute, one defining trait of the students who remained in church during their college years and beyond is the number of meaningful relationships they have with non-parental adults in their congregation. If a student has numerous adults in their church who are willing to invest in them spiritually and personally, that student is much more likely to remain in church after youth group. For this reason, the Fuller Youth Institute recommends a 5-to-1 ratio of adults to students. That means that every student should have 5 meaningful relationships with adults in their church. Not just adults that know their name, not just adults that say hello on Sunday mornings, but adults that will talk with them regularly, adults that will go to soccer games, adults that will host sessions of Dungeons and Dragons, adults that will know who wants to be a praying mantis and who throws up after touching sand, adults that will go out of their way to be an active presence in their lives, adults that are committed to them in the short term and in the long term. This is the type of commitment that marked the early church. It is the type of commitment that we must strive for today. In the New Testament alone, there are over 50 direct commands for how Christians are to act toward and live with one another. Commands to love one another, to encourage one another, to honor one another, to build one another up, to serve one another, to care for one another, to forgive one another, to be patient with one another, to pray for one another, and to be devoted to one another. Communal life was important enough for Jesus, for Paul, for the other early disciples to write about, to talk about, and a significant portion of Scripture is dedicated to how we should live together. Why? Because at its very core, the Christian life itself is a life of togetherness. A life of togetherness cannot and should not be separated from the Christian life. So as we wrap up our time together, usually we do three reflection questions with the youth. We're just going to do one this morning. So here's what I want us to do. If you can go ahead and put those reflection questions up on the screen, we're going to look at number three real quick. What is one way that you can commit yourself to a life of togetherness with this local church body? So here's what we're going to do. Youth and adults, you're going to do this too. Somebody around you, you're going to spend the next minute telling them what's one way that you can commit yourself to a life of togetherness with this local church body. 1 minute, starting now, go. All right, so it's been a minute. This time, youth, I'm actually going to call on you if you don't raise your hand. So, all right, be ready. Seth has got the microphone, so I'm going to ask somebody first. Youth, what is one way that you can commit yourself to a life of togetherness with this local church body? Somebody raise your hand. I always pick on my high school. Oh, Hudson, go ahead. Give Hudson the microphone.
Oh, it does work. All right. So you can like be with other people, like not just your like main friends. You can be with more people, like people you don't even really know. Like, yeah.
It's a great answer, man. Great answer. Good answer. Expanding your circle, right? Expanding your circle. Anybody else? Oh, Brenna Cooper in the back. You might have to stand up so that you can give him the microphone.
You can go on trips with the church your friends.
That's so much fun, isn't it? Good answer. All right. Who about else? Oh, Leo, go ahead.
Teach people how to play Magic the Gathering.
Oh, teach people how to play Magic the Gathering. All right. If there's any adults that know how to play Magic the Gathering, you should definitely be a youth volunteer. All right. Anybody else? Peyton, go ahead.
You can get the crackers that they give in the morning, and then once you get like a plateful, you can share them with like everybody else because the crackers are like really good.
If you know Peyton, that's the answer you expected right there. All right, good answer. Anybody else? Noah.
Oh, go to camp.
Go to camp. That's a good one right there too. All right, Abby, I'm picking on you because I heard you had a good answer. Abby, go ahead.
Show up to church and support each other, like going to soccer games, like Greg showed up to me in Zoe's soccer game this week, so that was awesome.
That's not the answer I heard, but that's still a good answer, all right? So, all right, anybody else? Now, I want one adult answer as well, all right? So, let's see, who should I pick on here? Oh, your dad, that's a great one. Luke Stevenson, where are you at? Luke, give me an answer from back there. Great answer. Who else wants me to pick on their parents real quick? All right. Where's Joseph at? Is Joseph back there? Joseph Canarney, where's he at? Joseph Canarney, go ahead, give me an answer. Youth Dungeons and Dragons. Great answer. There's so many different ways that we can share our lives together. But it takes an amount of intentionality. It takes an amount of creativity. And it takes time. We must invest into each other. As a youth pastor, I'm partial towards the youth. We must invest in our youth. We must invest spiritually. We must invest our resources, our time, our energy, because this is what it means to be the church, to share our lives materially, to share our lives spiritually, to be of one soul, of one heart. This is the challenge that the early church embraced, and it is the challenge that we must go towards today. As it was with them, may it be so with us. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning that as we read Scripture, we see over and over again a call for unity, a call to come together around the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. called to give up our own selfish ways, our own selfish desires, and to come together for our benefit and for your glory. So God, this morning, let us be reminded of that call. Let us be reminded of the commitment that it takes. Let us be reminded that friendship and community is sacred, it's good, it's holy, it's necessary. God, as these teenagers are here, I pray that you would give them strength to be vulnerable, to be honest, to be committed. God, we thank you for each and every person that's here. May we grow closer to you, but God, may we also grow closer to one another. For this is the life that you have for us, a life of togetherness, a life of communion with you and with one another. In Christ, and we pray. Amen.